141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a successful international break for Scotland. It was job done against Belarus with a comfortable, if not spectacular, 2-0 win on the night. Add that to Friday, it's 4 points on the board ahead of the next round of fixtures next month. And for some, the build-up to the return of domestic football is already underway. Derek McInnes without a couple of his injured first-team players for the trip to Ibrox. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, on the international scene, Gordon, you've got to look at two fixtures. One very difficult against Denmark in their home patch. 4 out of 6 points. I think we'd all be delighted with that. Very difficult for the players last night, playing in front of no fans. Must have been really, really hard. It was all about a professional job. They got that done. And is it safe to say that the Celtic fans are still not pleased with the statement that came out?
It's very safe.
Very safe to say. And I think we've still got a lot of mileage in that. But back to domestic football as well, so lots to talk about.
He's maturing, by the way, because I was almost certain. I saw a little glint in his eye. I thought he was going to say, Marvin, what's it like to play in front of no fans?
He's scared of Davey. There's too many Libby jobs. He's scared of Davey now.
That is canny.
I know him too well. But anyway, we're back, Marvin. It was, job done, is the phrase everyone keeps saying. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it was a really, really good job done. You know, no goals conceded. Like you said, 4 points on the board. A really, really good performance against Denmark. The boys had to, you know, dig in there. And then, like Gordon said there, a real professional performance yesterday. So in terms of international football, 4 points from it, they'll park it. They'll move on to the next games when they come up. But for me, it's all about the domestic stuff. Really, really looking forward to this weekend and it all coming back, really.
Did the break come at a good time for Livingston? I never fully know what that means, but we always speculate about whether it's good time, bad time. Did you get a bit of time off? What happens on an international break?
Yeah, so we got some time off. So from a coach's point of view, listen, you just want the games to keep on coming. The players might have been slightly different, especially the way, you know, we lost the game to Hearts right at the end. So from our point of view, it's allowed us to get some training in. The boys, some boys to go home as well, because like you said, a lot of them are not really Scottish-based in terms of where their families are at. And then back to it today. So yeah, we had, I think, 4 days off we got towards the end of the week. So some boys could
do
go home.
Do you have anything exciting, Marvin?
No, I didn't, mate. What did I do? Oh. I just chilled out, tidied the house.
Bit boring?
Yeah, I don't really do much. But I went out for dinner, actually.
You are boring, aren't
Edinburgh.
You?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't do much at all. So
just I feel like it takes a lot to get you out the house.
Yeah, I'm lazy,
just
man.
Lazy.
Honestly, really lazy,
because you don't,
man,
really like the outdoors.
Don't like people.
Don't like bad weather.
Nah,
nothing like that.
So there's not really a lot out there for me.
Remote control, lying the couch, feet up.
Exactly. Brilliant. The dogs are right, I'm fine.
0141 951 1025. Talk to us. We're here until 8 o'clock, as always. So what did you take away from the international break? How would you sum it up as a package deal? The 4 points, sitting there looking not too bad in the context of the group. How do you view it overall? On the specifics of last night, it clearly wasn't outstanding entertainment. Was it ever going to be away against Belarus, but in Hungary? No fans, the second game of a double header early on in the season. What did you make of the way that it was done? It was two very different teams picked as well. Clearly very specific jobs needing to be done by the two groups, and they both did it. So what did you make of it? I think in true Scottish fashion, I've seen people more interested in worrying about who didn't come off the bench for the last 15 minutes rather than the 4 points picked up. Who am I to tell you what your priorities should be? Give us your thoughts on any of the above and more. You'll always spot something that we don't as well. So 0141 951 1025. Maybe you were one of those. We actually had one on last night. Did you hear it?
No.
Scotland fan who went.
Oh, yeah, I heard it in the news that there were about 12 people standing.
Despite the fact there were, you couldn't.
What? Yeah, standing at the gates.
Just to show
in
how hardcore they are. And it made me think about you in a roundabout way. Someone
who, I'd take their kilts off them.
Even in, enough about your private life. You won't even go to a game if you get free tickets to Fir Park, which is about 400 metres away, sun split in the trees. The thought of you going abroad to a game that you can't get into off your own. I mean, the guy who came on last night must be the polar opposite football fan from you.
That blows my mind. It really does. I heard it come driving in tonight on the news. And I heard the lad talking about it. He says, we wanted to let the players know that we're there to support them. They were looking through the gates.
And his life must be rubbish,
No, his wife was real, man. I baffles the life out of me, but well done to them. They paid their money. They went there. They wanted to be a part of it. Yeah,
can't great. Give a well done
listen,
for that.
Listen, mate, if that's the way they want to enjoy their life, then that's up to you. Man. I've got other things I like doing to enjoy things.
Well, maybe we could work our way through the rest of the group. Was there anyone else who went over there and wants to give us a call? If not, you watched it on TV, I'm sure. Let us know what were the highlights. It feels like every time he plays for Scotland, people get quite excited about Ben Gannon-Doak and the impact he makes. So what did you make of him? Anything that's not maybe working or things that you want tweaked going ahead into the remainder of the games, do let us know. It's never too early for us, though, either to look ahead to the return of domestic football. What we've been saying over the last few nights is sometimes it's about the way the two merge. So for you Rangers fans, last night we sort of touched on the fact that Nico Raskin scores for Belgium, and what does that mean for him when he returns to club football? As Gordon alluded to, I don't think you Celtic fans will ever get over that statement, looking at the strength of the reaction online and on the phones. So I don't know, today's a new day. Have you got anything else on your mind about what's happening at the club at the moment? The team's been back training. You've maybe seen some of the footage of Iheanacho and others joining in with Brendan Rodgers and the first team group. Derek McInnes, I think, the first manager to do his press. It's very early in the week, but we're always grateful for it, because it means we can get a flavour of what's going on at club football. He obviously comes to Ibrox. What a massive game that is, because amid statement gate and transfer deadline day, it's not like you Rangers fans are feeling brilliant about things either. So Hearts coming there, but unfortunately for you Jambos, without your new record signing, he's pulled his hamstring, probably against Marvin's Hatchetmen
on the Astro
in the previous game. So yeah, anything you want, look back on the last couple of games, look ahead to the weekend, something else that you think we've missed, give us a call. 01419511025. Did you not get out and about, go to any games over your weekend off?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. I looked about. I was going to go down to Capello, but I know there's roadworks in M8, and I decided against that. And so I just spent my weekend a game of golf, and then just a nice quiet.
I went East Kilbride Ackies. I thought I'd have a U written all over it.
Yeah,
I'd
but
a bit of you about it. Right,
did you pay again? No, he didn't. You know, he slaughtered me on Thursday
that
night.
That is neither here nor there.
You slaughtered me on Thursday night, and you said, I've got to pay. And I went, I would never pay.
But here's the difference. I would have. Oh, that's the difference between you and I.
So how did you get him for free?
Because he
got a complimentary ticket.
Oh, wow. He put Sky Gear on and said, oh, man.
No.
Oh, I can't believe
it. You know, the worst of it is actually truth, full disclosure. I've told you my brother-in-law is the captain of East Kilbride. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I think that's allowed. But I thought it was a relatively nice day, with no disrespect. It's not that I was looking down on East Kilbride as a club, but I thought, I'm just going to go. I just did like my gym gear on.
Yeah.
Shorts and a jumper. And I thought, I'll just go down. It's a nice day. I'll go to the gym after I'm finished. And I get there, and the guy in the door says, he's looking for the name and whatever. And he goes, oh, it's a boardroom pass you've got. I've got my shorts. Shorts, trainers, hoodie on.
And did you get?
I thought, well, I'm not going to go in, right? Because that's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. That I'll just go and take my seat.
Oh, get a half time.
Half time.
You get a half time.
A cup of tea and straight out. Mortifying. Anyway, speaking of East Kilbride, Donald is there on the line. How are you, Donald?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, and nice to speak to you, Gordon. And is it Marvin and Gordon?
It is indeed, Donald. It is. Right, yeah. What have you got for them?
You know, they're my two favourite pundits.
No one's ever.
Do you know something? I was getting cheered up.
Donald was going to say that whoever was on.
I listen to the show often, and Marvin is the thinking man's pundit.
There you go.
Hold on, Donald. I'm a bit concerned where you're going here with me.
And Gordon is unique.
Thank you, Donald.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one more for him.
I'm also glad he's unique, because I couldn't handle two of them.
Correct. You know, right, I'm a bit worried about where we're going here, Donald.
Gordon, you bring a lot. Both of you bring a lot to the show. You really do. And
yeah,
you
I agree
do,
with you, Donald.
Come again, Donald.
You know,
you're a good man, Donald.
You know, so,
right, what did you make of Scotland then?
Scotland. Well, I was really pleased with how professional we were. We did the old gung ho, which I was really pleased about. There's a kind of clamour at times. I think Hugh was mentioning that about young boys, bleeding young boys and things. And, you know, we've got to be realistic about it. And we've made four changes. I think Shea Adams is going to be given praise for last night for his performance and his goal, especially anticipation. Get it. A lot of strikers could be just too late to arrive at the back post for that. McTominay, you get what you get with McTominay. He's a class act. You know, I thought defensively, I think we've done well. We had a couple of chances, other chances we could have scored. I had £5 on Suter and he headed it over the bar. I wouldn't be too happy about that. You know,
I always say, please gamble responsibly. I'm very predictable
for
these.
For the first goal. I was happy with you know, I'm 60 years of age and I've saw plenty of false dawns over the years. We be beaten or competing well against the big team and then followed up by a damp squid from the next and I think Steve Clark has got a level head on him, you know, and I just wonder what you thought about that.
I think that's a really pertinent bit that Donald ends on there as well, talking about no one's going to go overboard and celebrate a win against Belarus, but we have seen it in the past. It is entirely possible that you go there, no fans, it's the second game in the double header. You've done what's apparently the hard bit and you get the draw, but the draw actually doesn't become a good result if you don't follow up. The draw then becomes a bad result. So I still feel like there was a level of pressure to go and do it. And the very first word Donald said was professional. Do you think that was like kind of sums up the double header?
Yeah. I think it was so, so difficult for players to go out there. And you can hear every shout. It was like Marv will tell you, it was like a practice match, you know, and you can hear a manager, you can hear the players, and you've just got to sort of realise, right, this is the situation we're in. We're here to do this job. We're under a little bit of pressure because we get a great result on Friday night. We've got to follow that up. 4 out of 6, everybody's quite happy. The only downside, could we have scored a few more goals? Probably, right? But just getting that first goal, and then you could see that the players really took control of the game. 2-0, 3 points, 4-6. You would take that. It's a great start. You've now got a double header at Hampden coming up. So you're getting into these games full of confidence for me.
Yeah, it's almost a no-win situation for the players, isn't it? Because like Gordon's saying there, everyone expects them to go and win, but you have to motivate yourself. Obviously, you know, the Denmark game, yes, they were away, but the Titan Army followed them in their numbers, and you know, you could hear them on the TV screens. Then you have to go and, you know, follow up with the second game. But international football, there's no easy games. You saw, I think it was Kosovo beat Sweden 2-0. You know, so like you said there, it becomes so, so difficult. You have to make sure you're professional. I think Steve Clark's the right man to do it. I know he's got his critics, but, you know, as Donald said there, he's very level-headed. He takes each game as it comes. I like the way he changed the tactics for the second game. You know, he realised what they needed to do. And like you said there, they've got two massive games now coming up in the next international break, but they wouldn't have been massive unless they got the 4 points, which they did in this first one. So it's a really, really good start.
He's unlikely to ever grab the headlines in this Scotland team, Gordon, but Donald mentions Shea Adams. He is now in double figures. He got the hat-trick against Liechtenstein, obviously didn't score against Denmark, gets the one last night, plays a really, really key role in the second, because probably we needed a bit of craft at that point to unlock the stubborn defence. Is he sort of proving his worth and doing a good job amid all the calls for Kieran Bowie or whoever else?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think a lot of the Scotland fans are now crying out to see Bowie because he's had such a good start with Hibs. But Adams, he goes up there, he doesn't get the praise he deserves as a striker, whether it's a lone striker or whether Dykes is up there with him. I think he works very hard for the team. Sometimes he doesn't hold the ball up as well as he should, but there's a lot of strikers like that, Gordon. The most important thing for him last night, and especially being a striker myself, is when you play teams like that, you've really got to score goals. If you're going to keep your place in the team, if you're going to show your worth, you have to get the goals. And the first goal was always going to be an important goal because it lifts that little bit of pressure, good time and everything about it. And I thought it was a striker's goal. You know, he reads McTominay's header brilliantly, and obviously he's got a tap in, an easy finish for him, and he'll be delighted with that.
Is he the best all-round striker, do you think, in the squad currently?
Well, Once again, I'll probably go with quite a lot of the Tartan Army. I would like to see Bowie getting a little run out because I think he's in great form. I think he brings something different. Dykes, always, once again, people criticise him, but goes up there and does a good job for us as well. Hurst comes on, does okay. I think we're okay there just now. I think we've got guys that can go and fit in. So right now, if I was playing, was Greece next at Hampden, then if I was playing a striker, I'd play Adams,
I mean, what else sort of jumped out last night? We keep seeing Ben Gannon-Doak, everyone always wants him to play, didn't get the nod on Friday. It's clearly a different challenge, wasn't it? How key is he going to be in games like that, do you think?
He's massive because he's so positive. Every time he gets the ball, he wants to take somebody on. He wants to create something. And those players are worth their weight in gold. You know, I know he's had a few injuries and everything else. He's just got his move to Bournemouth. But for Scotland going forward, when you need to break those teams down, I think he's going to be absolutely massive for them. I think when you see against Greece and then obviously the return game against Denmark as well, probably be more defensive to start with and then bring him on towards the end. But I think he's a real positive spark and, you know, be absolutely massive if Scotland can get to the World Cup, because then you'll see him on the biggest stage internationally. So, yeah, I think Steve Clarke's handling him really, really well. I know he wants him off the leash a lot earlier than he did in the Denmark game. But, yeah, I was really impressed with him yesterday and everything he did.
4 points, Donald, the same as Denmark, one ahead of Greece. Do you feel that's a fairly good platform to build on?
I do. I think that is Greece first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hampden. Becomes a big game. Becomes a big game. You know, I'd love I'm thinking, do we need a win? I think we do. I think we need. But I'm just wondering with a striking position, you know, with Lyndon Dykes, he holds the ball up. And we score goals from midfield when he's playing. You know, he's not an out-and-out striker as such. I don't think he's sharp as Jay Adams. But he does hold the ball up more and you get runners from midfield.
I think the team's always been set up that way, isn't it? I think, with no disrespect, we clearly have a higher quality of midfielder than we do a striker. And the team has always been built really to try and allow the midfielders to score if the strikers aren't prolific. But like we said, if Adams is now up to 10, it at least, you know, gives him a bit of confidence. And, you know, John McGinn's not quite in the goal scoring form he used to be for Scotland. Scott McTominay's allowed a couple of nights off.
Yeah, and what I liked about it, and I don't think you get enough credit, I don't think anyone's seen the team line up on Friday against Denmark. I don't think anybody would have thought he'd have went with Dykes and Adams. Especially away from home, difficult venue. Everybody tends to go, right, play one striker, play five in the middle of the park, make it compact, make it hard. I liked the way he went about his business. Young Gannon-Doak, I thought, was tailor-made for last night. And he will be tailor-made for Hampden as well. He excites the fans love him. But I thought, over a piece of the two games, I thought Steve Clarke, and Hanlon's another one, right, he was excellent on Friday. Eyebrows raised again about Hanlon.
So Hanley,
sorry, what was I saying?
I'm thinking, Hanley, sorry.
My apologies. And I think the eyebrows were raised when you seen him in the team. But I thought, over a piece of the two games and the lineups, yes, I'm a wee bit like everybody else, like to see Bowie, Lennon Miller maybe or whatever, but their time will come. I thought Steve Clarke got it right.
Thank you to Donald. What do you think, though? That's more important. 01419511025. Tell us right now if you can, and we'll do our best to get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. Please do join in. I want to hear more from you, less from them. Don't tell them I said that, though. Charlie's on the line already. How are you, Charlie? What are you thinking tonight, Charlie?
Well, I was the game last night, I was thinking, I watched it, and it kind of reminded me of the Euros, some of the tactics, you know. I'm a fan of Steve Clarke, you know what I mean? I'm not wanting to put a guy down, but some of the things he was doing was irritating me, with their super late substitutions, you know what I mean? And putting Dykes on. I'd have put Bowie on. We're only going to learn anything new for Dykes, and apart from the fact that he put him on in like the 83rd minute. So I'd have put Billy on earlier. I would have changed the link of
Max Johnson.
Max Johnson, sorry, I forgot his name.
No, you're fine. I thought you said wing back there, and it just I had Mikey
in my head there, and I could get that. Johnson, the boy. I wouldn't have changed him at half time. I'd have been a slap in the face, the boy, and he was done. And to see, to be fair to him, for all that Belarus have made it to be a poor team, the boy they had up front was absolutely rapid. Mm-hmm. So he was in a tough time there. But I would have changed him, and I would have left Doak on. I don't know if you noticed in the footage, but when Ben Doak was coming off, he didn't look happy, and me wonder. He'd that boy on toast. And the reason it was annoying me so much is last night was important, and it was a chance because we had them. And us group, the short group that is, might well come down to goal difference. It could do that. And so I thought we had a chance last night.
I wondered, seeing on the Max Johnson one though, you can, looking at his history and all that, you just got the impression he was just trying to use Aaron Hickey as little as possible.
Yeah.
So I think that's understandable. 2-0 up, I think that was probably part of it, wouldn't it? Because let's be honest, Aaron Hickey would have started the game.
Yeah.
You know, if all things.
But he's been out for a long time and he's nursing him back. It was a good opportunity. Max Johnson come on the other night there. I still think it was the right decision. I don't think it was a red card. And I bet it was a sigh of relief for the lad. Especially just coming on the pitch. But look, Charlie will not be alone here. I think there'll be a lot of supporters out there saying, why did we not see Bowie? Look at the way he's playing with Hibs. But you've got to trust the manager who's working with these players when he's away with them. He's seen them in training. He's got a game plan. Bowie's time will come if he keeps going the way he's going, Gordon, and I think we'll all see that. He's got to make the substitutions. He knows that players maybe be carrying a slight little knock or you know, getting into the game or at halftime or whatever it may be. So I think Steve Clarke gets a rough ride in this sometimes. Don't get me wrong, I don't agree with everything he does. I looked at his starting lineup and Friday night, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Going two up top, and you've got Hanley back in there, and what is going on here? And it was a brilliant result. Mm-hmm. It was an absolute great result. So sometimes I think, as much as we do, and a lot of people do criticise Steve Clarke and the way he goes about some things, I think you've got to give him a pat on the back.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think from a fan's point of view, you want to see Barry, but from a coaching point of view, you understand what Steve Clarke's done there. Because ultimately, you know, when you play for Scotland or any international team, we're talking about Scotland now, you have to earn your stripes. You know, Lyndon Dykes has done extremely well for Steve Clarke, never really let him down. You've got Hurst on the bench as well, by the way, who's starting week in, week out in the Championship down in England in a league that Lyndon Dykes isn't playing, and Lyndon Dykes is ahead of him. So he'll be frustrated as well. You know, Clark's ultimately here to win games. He knows Barry's done extremely well for Hibs. That's the reason he's in the squad. But you don't automatically just get in the squad and then, because the fans want to see you, you put him on. He wants to win games of football. He's done that. He's picked the right squad. He's made the right substitutions. I know it's frustrating at times for fans, but it's just part and parcel of the game.
I think I'm like every Scotland fan. Mm-hmm. I probably felt the same watching thing. It would be nice to see Kieran Bowie. Mm-hmm. I always want to see more of Lennon Miller earlier than we did. But I've been a little bit surprised at how much people think it matters. To me, when you win the game, when you get your 4 points, that becomes a tiny footnote on the bottom. Some people were acting like it was the headline from last night, the fact that Kieran Bowie doesn't get put on. I mean, like I said, to repeat, I wanted to see him as well. But for all we know, Lyndon Dykes goes and trains better than Kieran Bowie every single day that they've been away. Again, you don't have to like Steve Clarke, but his qualification record's pretty good. Lots of that might well be built on the fact that he's got this kind of club mentality and there's a loyalty there. And then once you put your way in, because Ben Doak hasn't always been in, but he's now irresistible, you put him in. Max Johnson's another one. He's young. That was only his maybe his fourth cap, something like that. So it's not like it's impossible. It's not like nobody gets a chance. Lennon Miller came on only for a couple of minutes. He's there. He hasn't played any football this season, but he was there. You know, he's highly enough thought of to get in about it. It just feels like, because people don't really like Steve Clarke, That feels like that still dominates things. You come away from 4 points out those two. Should you really be worrying about what subs didn't come on?
No, and that's where I do agree with you. I think he's got to go in for criticism if he doesn't come away, especially after the Denmark result. I'm going to go down the other road there then, when you're talking about negativity of subs and everything. I had one slight problem, and it was Friday night that worried me.
Could have gone earlier with them?
Yeah, I think, I think the goalkeeper.
All right.
I think he came out and he was punching. He didn't look confident at times for me. Look, he's what, third choice goalkeeper at Forest just now, so he's not going to get a lot of game time. I don't know if
that's played, a problem. What do you do?
Rough, you know, you've got Clark and obviously Kelly there as well, and so there's an argument for that. But apart from that slight, and that's the slightest negative for me, I thought over a piece, yes, would I like to seen a couple of more goals last night? Probably like to seen Bowie to see what he could give us. But I'm not sitting here a smart. I wasn't sitting this morning saying, oh, that's terrible, Steve Clark. You frustrate me. I think you've got to say that's a good 486 points and puts us in a good position for our next two games.
What do you think, Charlie?
Absolutely. It's a good 4 points. But as I was saying, it could come down to goal difference. It is a short group and small things matters. If we had been a little braver, like I'm not on to put Steve Clark down. It says that at the start, but if he'd have been a wee bit braver and took chances, or even chances, we were clearly dominating the game. Young Ben Doak had that boy on toast. We were hammering them, right? And with an inexperienced keeper. Now, they meet over an inexperienced keeper in the next game, then there was a chance there to go and get goals. And making substitutions in like the last minute and stuff like that, or a couple of minutes to go, what's the point? You know, that bamboozled me. If you're going to make a substitution, be effective about it. At least if you've got the bravery or the belief to put the guy on in the first place, put him on when he can at least do something.
But I don't think a game away against Belarus behind closed doors is the type of game where, and I don't know, are we good enough to say that should be 4-5? Just take a look.
Why not?
Because take a look at any of it. Andorra come to Wembley and it's 2-0. Yeah. Republic of Ireland are currently losing in Armenia. I don't think they're not San Marino. They're not absolute minnows. And it was, you know, I think if San Marino come to Hampden, if Gibraltar come to Hampden, if Andorra come to Hampden, you're saying, right, because of course technically Charlie's right, let's try and get as many goals as possible. I think last night's just about winning, surely. And then, you know, you obviously it could come down to goal difference, but you just got to deal with that at the time. I don't think Belarus on neutral ground with no fans, and we're still only Scotland, by the way, is the type of game where you go, you know, 2's not enough, that should have been 5. I just don't think international football plays out that way.
No, I think it's moved a long way since then. I think, you know, teams are a lot better set up in terms of being behind the ball. The coaches are a lot better. Players are a lot better than they used to be. Like you said, San Marino, we used to see him getting beat, you know, 7-8, 9-0. Those days are firmly behind us with most nations now. So I totally agree. You know, I think Scotland find it a lot easier when they're the underdogs and they can counter-attack teams or it's a more level playing field. Belarus knew what was going to happen. They were always going to sit behind the ball. And that's why I think Scotland do find it difficult to beat teams like that. But they've done it. You know, they've won the game 2-0. And Steve Clark won't be thinking about goal difference at this moment in time. He'll be thinking about Greece at home, get 3 points there. Obviously, you know, Belarus at home. And then, you know, the Denmark game as well. So That's in his mind. If he can go and win the home games now, he probably finishes first place. And that's all he needs to do. You know, take each game as it comes. You know, don't disrespect anyone. Don't think you should deserve to beat somebody 4 or 5-0 just because Greece have done it. Just go and win your games of football at home now, boys, and eventually go to the World Cup.
Because that Greece result for them might have impacted things. They were set up extremely deep. We see it at domestic level. Do you put that type of lens on it then, where Celtic or whoever go and play against a team who's sitting in making life hard, you just can't turn up and win those games 5-0. It just doesn't necessarily work that way.
Yeah, but I, listen, there's a couple of things I do agree with Charlie. As a player and watching, you know, substitutions coming on me 2 or 3 minutes, unless it's an injury, I do get that.
Totally,
right?
But then by the same token, it was don't take Ben Doak off, keep him on. Ben Doak doesn't, he was brilliant last night. We're all so excited about him. But he's not played a lot of football. Ben, he's not just going to play 90 minutes every game and leave him on.
And he wasn't the only one, let's be honest. And that's why he managed players like Hickey and stuff like that. And I said over a piece, I thought he got the two games right. Now, Charlie says being a bit more braver. I thought on Friday night, he was very brave with his team selection. Two up top. Yeah. How, nobody's seen that coming. You know, nobody's seen them going there and thinking, right, he's going to be brave, he's got to play two up top, he's going to try and get the ball up the pitch and take, you know, the back four up and try to take a little bit of pressure off his team. And I thought his tactics worked out absolutely brilliant, because Denmark go away last night and thrash Greece.
Yeah.
Right? We never seen that coming. They hardly put a glove on us in their own back garden. So I think Steve Clark's got to take a wee bit of credit.
Do you think that result's a bad result for Scotland, that, Charlie? Denmark beating Greece?
I was trying to wonder what is the actual best result for us. And I was so thinking about it. Mathematically, you're wanting draws. You want every other team to draw. That's the maths. Then they drop more points. They can only get 2 points, as where somebody can get three. So winning, but I was actually wanting Greece to score a goal, to keep the goal. I'm already thinking about goal difference there and then, because it's something we need. It is, but it could come well down yet. I'm keeping that down. And Greece have put five by Belarus as well, so come on, they were there for the taking for me.
It is an interesting one, because a couple of ways of looking at it. I think a draw would obviously have been good, and then they both don't get maximum points, to state the obvious. I did wonder as well, if you look at Greece winning their opening game and us taking a point off Denmark, had Greece won last night, that's kind of Denmark gone, really. Because I know, yes, you want to win the group, but second would get you a playoff. So if Greece were now sitting on 1 point, they're possibly done. You know, not officially, but that's a
Denmark.
Long way. That's a long, long way back for them. And then you might say, well, it will be second at worst for Scotland.
Yeah.
The difficulty right now, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future, is we're in 4 points with Denmark, Greece are in three. So all three of those teams could still finish first, second or third, if that makes sense.
Yeah, still all to play for, isn't it? I totally agree with you. You know, I think, you know, Scotland players would have wanted to check their phones or check the scores and see that, you know, Greece had beaten Denmark, like you said, just to give them that kind of breathing space. I think you just then it's us and Greece head to head. We've got to play Greece twice anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's what you kind of hope for. But listen, it's kept it all nice and tight. But as I said, you know, Steve Clark will just be saying to his players, right, go back to your club football. When you come back, boys, just take care of our own business and we'll be absolutely fine. And the top two is definitely there for Scotland still to make, and it's all in their own hands, which is the best thing.
What was the best result for you, do you think?
I sort of agree with you. I'd like to see Denmark fall down the table a little bit.
So a Greece win last night, and then Denmark are gone.
Yeah, but the good thing about it is, with a double header coming up, Greece and Belarus, if we can go and get 6 points, then I just think that confidence and momentum carries you.
Okay, thank you very much to Charlie. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing or want to introduce something different, you know where we are. 01419511025. Let me run this past you first, though. Grade one. This is the biggest competition on the radio, where this week you could win £552,000, a ridiculous sum of money. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025, and those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340, and those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Don't miss out. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. It's £552,000 up for grabs. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's the best I've sounded there.
Mike was
wasn't working. You two nearly get left in charge. Oh,
that would have been brilliant, by the way.
Can you imagine?
We've been off air by
1846. Gone home, Andy. Andy's on in Helensburgh. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, not too bad. Evening panel. Just wanted to talk. I mean, you've heard it the past 3 days about the Denmark game, so I'll keep that quite short. I think 3 points would have been great. To take a point away from home to Denmark, brilliant. Last night, 2-0 win. Che Adams' goal, yeah. Stevie Wonder's putting that away. And then the own goal. I'm talking bad about the games, but I think we all just need to calm down a little bit. We've got 4 points from two away games, and we've still got home games coming up as well. So I think everyone just needs to calm down a little. But I'm going to jump on the Bowie bandwagon. You're not convincing me that Lyndon Dykes is better than Eden Bowie. It's just not happening.
Well, we don't know at international level because we've not really witnessed that, have we?
You've got Lyndon Dykes playing for Birmingham. You've got Kieran Bowie playing for Hibs, playing European football, banging the goals in, and he's not getting a start for Scotland. Come on.
So you would start him then? Because Lyndon Dykes didn't start last night either.
Oh, no, right, no, I get that. Friday was the one that annoyed me the most. Because you've got Dykes and Adams. Yep, I get that Dykes was there for the defensive side of things. But then you're no subbing him on and you're crying out for a goal.
I think clearly the other night we weren't crying out for a goal, no. Really. I think that's sort of the point. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to tell people how you feel. I think you're allowed to want to have seen Bowie. I wanted to see Bowie. I'm surprised at how much prominence it gets when you get the 4 points. I think a manager lives and dies by their team selection. Steve Clark doesn't get points last night. And then, well, he's got it wrong. This is a disaster. Kieran Bowie could have helped. It just feels like, I don't know, it feels like more's been made of it than needs to be.
Yeah, Andy's
for
not
a guy we've never seen at international level,
100%. Andy's not alone here. We're all sitting here now. They've been nice to be in a situation where Bowie comes on last night and shows us what he's going to produce at international level.
But is that not it? That's where it ends. It would have been nice, but other than that, like to dominate the conversation feels, I don't know, it feels wrong.
I do think his turn will come. Of that, I'm sure, because the lads get off to a terrific start this season. Andy makes great points about him there. But Steve Clark knows on Friday night what Dykes and Adams are going to bring to the team, because that's the way he goes about his business. He's loyal to these guys in the sense of when that big game come up. Now, yes, it was a great opportunity last night. Can we see Bowie coming on? Can we see, you know, and you touched on it, Gordon, Lennon Miller's not played a lot of football, but he's a brilliant young talent. Can we see one or two others coming on? You've got to look at the two results and say, right, 4 points out of six, we keep harping on about it. You've got to let Steve Clark go and manage it. Look, if it doesn't work for him, he's the guy that's got to pay the price.
I think that's at the core of it, because we're allowed to disagree with team selections. Yeah. If we didn't, the show would really struggle. But, you know, quite clearly, Steve Clark's just doing what he thinks is right. And see, if it's not right, he won't be the Scotland manager. I kept saying this about the schedule. This is potentially over in November. And see, if Scotland finish third by November, that'll be it. Steve Clark won't be the Scotland manager. And that will be the end result as to whether he's got team lineup suggestion selection right or not.
Yeah, and he's got it right for the two games. You know, he's been proved right there. I know Andy's saying that he wanted to see Bowie start ahead of Dykes against Denmark, which I didn't think was ever going to happen. I think one thing you can say about Che Adams and Lyndon Dykes, that they understand the level, they understand the pressures of playing for Scotland. So when you're a manager and you only got a few days to work with players, you always going to go with the tried and trusted. Listen, Bowie's been fantastic for Hibs so far this season. And I actually said last season on this show that towards the end of the season, I would like to see him in the Scotland squad. So, you know, he's now done it and he deserves to be there. But like you said there, I think it's just the way some people feel about Steve Clark, no matter what he do, he can't do right for doing wrong. It's just the way it is at this moment in time. Bowie will get his opportunity, there's no doubt about it, but he has to also wait in line. I know Andy's saying that, you know, Lyndon's playing for Birmingham and, you know, Bowie's playing for Hibs. Birmingham's, it'd be a harder level. It'd be more difficult. It's more difficult, I think, to play for Birmingham at this moment in time than it is for Hibs. They're a massive club in a really, really competitive league. And that's me saying that as a Hibs fan. So, listen, Bowie will get his opportunity. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you can't go against Steve Clark and what he's done. He's got 4 points, two really, really good performances. And listen, these younger players will get opportunities. They have to be patient.
Andy?
I know I'm sounding like every Scotland fan and just finding the negative and everything. I get that. I mean, I seen the lineup on Friday, and I was saying, Grant Hanley, typical, absolutely hopeless. But then he has a great game. And then it's, Gilmore's not playing, but we didn't actually miss Gilmore that much. Christie, I thought, had an all right game. But then you go to the game last night, and then Hanley's not starting, McKenna's starting, but then McKenna also has a good game. So maybe Steve Clark does know more than me.
Changes tune within 2 minutes.
Maybe that is just where we are, because we just move on. Everybody had to go through that at the weekend. Everybody did it. Oh, is Grant Hanley still playing? Mm-hmm. And then by full time you go, look, hands up, you got that right, I was wrong, Grant Hanley was good. But then only a couple of days later, you've forgotten about that, and it's the same mindset mm-hmm. with Shea Adams or Kieran Bowie or whatever.
Nobody, listen, everybody disagrees with team lineups. Of course they do. We've been in management ourselves and heard it many times.
By the way, we're now not even, if we're talking about last night, we're not even really disagreeing with the starting 11. We're talking about who came on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think after Friday night, you can't disagree with the starting 11 as well. You can't disagree with the formation.
Because an Aaron Hickey fitness issue away from probably being most people's favoured Scotland team last night, would that be fair out of those available? Maybe make a case for a Ryan Christie, you know, Lewis mm-hmm. Ferguson. I don't think either of those have got it nailed on. But other than that, everybody wants Gilmore, everybody wants Doak. Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell he had a game plan for both games, Gordon, right? I think we all looked at Billy Gilmore at Denmark. Why is he not in the pitch? The only positive I can think of, and you know, the plaudits I can give Steve Clarke is, I think there's a lot of Scotland fans out there thinking, we missed a trick on Friday night. We could have beat Denmark. Mm-hmm. If we'd have just been a little bit more positive, or played somebody a little bit different, a different position, we could have beat Denmark. So it shows you got it right. But we get back to one thing. These qualifiers, if he doesn't get first or second, then he's not going to be the Scotland manager. So you've got to let him go and decide his own future, because that's what it is.
That mindset's that argument's a good one, Marvin, because I've probably gone through that myself since Friday, saying, do you know what, they actually didn't look that good. Should we be as happy with a point? Could we have got three? But then, to be fair, maybe they didn't look that good because of what we did, and then therefore you play a different way, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it's not as simple as to say, if we had just gone for it, whatever that means, that you go over to Denmark and win.
Well, listen, Denmark have got a lot of good players, and they showed that in, you know, playing Greece and beating Greece convincingly. You have to give Scotland huge credit for the way that the game went on Friday night. The fact that everyone's coming away from it and saying, I don't think Denmark are that good, that's down to the way Steve Clarke set the team up and down to how the players played. Like you said, it was a massive, massive call not to play Gilmore, but you know, you have to look at it and say, in a flat four, does it suit him? Probably not. It's not somewhere he doesn't have the most mobility. He's the best on the ball that Scotland have. But playing in a flat four is a lot different to playing as a holding midfielder. So again, Steve Clarke's had to make a massive call, something that people disagreed with when the lineup came out. You saw, you know, social media saying this lineup's terrible, et cetera, et cetera. And then come the end of the game, everyone's proud. So listen, you can't argue what the man's done. Yes, we can say this player should have came on mm-hmm. and that's our opinion. But in terms of what he's done, it was absolutely brilliant for me.
And that's where it's tough at the top, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. although Denmark is a difficult place to go, look at the... Oh, yeah, use the word negativity, or there's a bit of that. Look at the negativity tonight because of the subs. If Steve Clarke had picked that team on Friday and lost, he would have been in a world of pain in the eyes of the Scotland fans, wouldn't he?
Oh, 100%. 100%. But I keep going back to it. It's his job. He's got to pick the best for what he thinks is right. He knows his players inside out. And he knows how to manage them. Plus the fact, Gordon, see... And you know, in international football, and Marv will tell you that there'll be clubs there, you know, speaking to Scotland and Steve Clarke about managing their players' game time. You look at Hickey, it was a no brainer. He was never going to start the next game. He's hardly played any football. You know, young Gannon Doak's the same. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Scotland players in there. If you look at their minutes since the start of the season, some of them need. Yeah. Sort of a worked into the game.
You can put Dykes and Hanley into that as well. I know they're older players, but not had a lot of club minutes at all.
Really played even Robertson.
That's what I mean. So he's had to be brave with his selection. You're talking about five of the starting 11 against Denmark, who haven't played that much football, and he still trusted them to go out there and do a job.
And did we see the challenges of that then, when your hands are tied a little bit? It was great for Max Johnson to play, get involved. He'll be better for the experience. He and the other right backs are in a difficult spot, in that Aaron Hickey's very good. Aaron Hickey's operates at a particular level, but he does have injury problems. He might not be able to play, and then Max Johnson sort of has to get thrust in there. Anthony Ralston did it so, you know, reliably up to a point before, but then he would get criticised for not being up to the level. But you can only work with what you've got.
Listen, Hickey showed what we've missed. I think he's a magnificent player, I really do. I think he's grown into a top fullback. I like the way he does everything going forward, defending. He's strong, he's got good tight, good pace about him. He's just a modern day footballer for me. But you're right, he's had a real bad injury and he's been out for a long time. So you've got to then look at Ralston would have probably started on Monday.
Because there's another thing. There's been, we're talking about this clamour and the way people see it. There's been a, I think there has been a bit of noise for Steve Clarke to give Max Johnson a chance. You never give, you know, young players a chance. Mm-hmm. You always pick Anthony Ralston. But, you know, I think when he has to, or when the time is right, those things do happen. Maybe just not at the rate for everybody else.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Gordon. Like you said, everyone's got an opinion about things. I think, you know, ever since the Euros, people have had it in for Steve Clarke. He's not going to turn those people's opinions around. But like you said, you know, he puts in Johnson when he has to, and he gives him minutes. He's seen Lennon Miller come through underneath him. You know, Ben Gannon-Doakes also came through. So he is giving youth a chance, but they have to earn it. You know, he's always said about playing for Scotland's a privilege. Nothing will be handed to these players. And all these younger players being around the older ones like the McGinns, the Robinsons, etc., those experiences will be absolutely brilliant for them. And he tries to create a club environment. That's exactly what he's trying to do there. And like I said, they've started really, really well. They're a well-knit team. They're really, really together. And now you've got some young, fresh players who are fearless at times that you can add into it as well. So Scotland, for me, you know, Steve Clarke's taking them in the right direction. And you know, to make the World Cup be a fantastic end if it ends up being the last thing that he does for Scotland.
Okay, let's play a big game of our own then. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, come on, beat the pundit time. Let's try and give away more prizes. Let's embarrass the pundits while we're at it, please. 01419511025, and your lines close at 7. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025. Lots of feedback coming in from the Scotland games over the weekend, so keep them coming if you so wish. It might be a good time to move on if you want to do club football as well. I know it might not float everybody's boat and you want to get back into the domestic stuff, so be our guest. 01419511025 right now whilst we play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, beat the pundit time. How's the form?
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Both good.
It'll be me again anyway.
Well, you're top of the league, actually.
Play every game.
No. I played at the weekend as well, mate.
No, I wasn't here at the weekend. Every Tuesday I play.
I don't care. I'm 5 out of 6.
He's 6 out of 6.
Are you 5 out of 6?
Yeah, mate.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
And I get one question that was Raith Rovers wrong, or I'd have been 6 out of 6.
But yeah. 6 out of 6 for you, Marvin. Coming down. Top of the league.
Yeah. He's on 6.
Not had many
on
defeats
Tuesday.
Though. Not had many defeats for the pundits this season. So hopefully we can change
get
that.
Simon Donnelly on.
Aye. Everybody's queuing up to phone in when we say. When's Donnelly on? When's Donnelly on?
Lewis is in Uddingston. How are you, Lewis?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah,
how
good.
Are you guys?
Good. Hi, Lewis.
Good, mate.
Is it the first time on Beat the Pundit?
Yeah, it's the first time I phoned up, yeah.
Right, okay. How do you usually do when you play along at home?
I usually get a 3, maybe a 4.
Oh, you better hang up quick, Lewis, and don't embarrass yourself.
It sounds like you've got his laptop out.
Four would be enough to beat you tonight.
Four would be enough?
Yeah, I'm looking at these questions.
The questions are hard.
Nah, I'd like to do better, obviously.
I don't like International Week.
Nah.
They're not international questions.
They probably will be.
No, they're not. Okay, what I'll do is toss the coin, Lewis. If it's
who do you want to play, Lewis?
Yeah, I know how to play, yeah.
Who do you want to play?
I'm Marvin.
You weren't expecting that. You were hoping for a dance.
Let's edit that bit out of the podcast.
Didn't even hesitate. Anyway, the blue side of the coin will give you your wish and you'll play Marvin.
Nah, you're going to get your wish, mate. Nah,
I'll be red.
Red side of the coin is Gordon DL.
Yes! Come on, Lewis!
All right. Come on, DL. Lewis.
You better sip that coffee, mate.
Up against Lewis in Uddingston. Okay.
Don't come away.
Give Gordon something else to listen to. Lewis, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Okay.
Right. 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Before Postecoglou, who's the last ex-Celtic boss to manage Nottingham Forest?
Matt O'Neill.
Apart from Rangers, Stephen Naismith, Paul Gascoigne, Davy Weir all played for which club?
Everton.
In what year did St Mirren leave the old Love Street?
2012.
How many teams are on 4 points in the Scottish Premiership?
3.
Who's got more caps for Japan, Hatate or Kyogo?
Hatate.
Which Italian team will Celtic and Rangers both face in the Europa League?
Roma.
Can you hear us, Gordon DL?
Yeah.
Who sings that?
Am I gonna get through?
I don't know what the words he sings.
Oh, jeez, right.
Someone could call into
that's
this.
Disturbing.
I wasn't even the word.
Right, 30 go. Seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Before Postecoglou, who's the last ex-Celtic boss to manage Nottingham Forest?
Martin O'Neill.
Stephen Naismith, Paul Gascoigne, Davy Weir all played for which team apart from Rangers?
Everton.
In what year did St Mirren leave the old Love Street?
2006.
How many sides are on 4 points in the Scottish Premiership?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
No.
Three.
How many? Who's got more caps for Japan, Hitati or Kyogo?
Hitati.
Which Italian team will Celtic and Rangers both face in the Europa League?
Torino.
Whoa!
Oh, Roma! It's Roma!
Horrific.
No, can I get that back, Roma?
Absolutely not.
No, why did I say Torino?
No idea.
How is you looking at me? A ugly face.
Lewis, what do you think?
I think I've had that vote that there.
Ooh,
think wow, I hope he's not.
6-4. Don't do that again.
Yeah, I'm not having you look at your league table for that question.
Okay.
That's, I think we need to let's take it from now on. Let's make a pact. Let's take league table questions out because they'll just look. They've got the tables in front of them. Right. So first question: before Postecoglou, who was the last ex-Celtic boss to manage Nottingham Forest? It is Martin O'Neill. You both got it. A quick aside: what about your old teammate from South Melbourne days?
Great to see him back. Absolutely.
Are you surprised?
I thought he maybe went to another country, tried somewhere in Europe. But obviously Forest have come calling. Big club, great club. So delighted he's back in the Premiership.
You messaged him?
What?
Have you texted him to say, like, well done?
Not yet. Not no, yet. I'll let him settle in. I might go down for a club visit. Him. I'll take you down.
You've got the sort of Greek connection with the owner and stuff. Yeah. What did you make of it?
No, I think it's a good one, Frange. I know what Gordon's saying there about going to a different country, but I think he's still got a bit between his teeth that he didn't achieve what he wanted to do at Tottenham, and he wants to prove himself in that league. And it's a really good squad to do it with. Obviously, they made European football. They got promoted, didn't they, from the Conference up to the Europa because of Crystal Palace. So yeah, listen, I think it's a really, really good fit for him, and it gives him another chance at the English Premier League.
We've had a bit of fun the last couple of nights. People arguing about Celtic statement and saying 8:42 on a Saturday night is no time to post a statement. What about Nottingham Forest? It was like the middle of it was during the night last night. I can't
was
remember.
It? Was it?
Yeah, it was like 2:00 this morning.
Can I just throw it in the morning? On,
I need to find the exact time. Can someone tell me in my ear when it was? Because I had this in my head earlier and I've forgotten. But
you're trying to sneak it in.
Yeah, it was like, well, everyone was asleep.
Yeah, starts early. Right, come on, I'm on a beat the pundit here. This
player just turned to train and new managers there, they had no idea.
I thought you'd have noticed class. That.
Yeah, no, see, this last question beats me, I'm going to go mental.
No, you'll win.
What was that, sorry?
What happened to the last Nottingham Forest manager?
Which one?
He got sacked.
No.
Why did he get sacked? Were they not doing well?
Well, that's the thing. It seems like a very difficult working environment.
Yeah.
Someone said 12:15 a.m. I actually thought it was later than that, but still, that's quite
extreme. That is extreme.
Right, okay. So, Martin O'Neill, you both got Everton for Naismith, Gascoigne and Weir. Do you know, every single time we do a question that's got the word Love Street in it, about a dozen St Mirren fans message me and say, it wasn't called Love Street. I think you'll find it was just the St Mirren Stadium.
Love Street.
Whatever. But anyway.
So it's well before 2006.
No, you were the closest. I still got it wrong. 2009.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I did. My first ever game for Clyde One Super Scoreboard was...
I would say the closest.
What did you say?
2012.
Oh, did you? I thought you were miles off. I couldn't remember.
You're right, Lewis. Just calm down.
None of you get it, Lewis. Calm down. No points for either of you.
He's not getting that extra point.
No,
for
he
that.
Is not.
I'll get my one at the end. I remember
first ever game on here was St Mirren Dundee United 2009, but just before they moved. So, yeah, you weren't too far off, but none of you got it. How many sides are on 4 points in the Premiership at six? It was hard to think to know that bang on the money, but Dundee United, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Rangers, Falkirk, Livy. You should know that, Marvin. Who's got more caps for Japan, Hitati or Kyogo? You both went Hitati. You were both wrong.
Oh,
it's
wow.
23-11.
Was it?
Yep.
Hold on. Oh, this last question's killing me.
So it's 2-2 heading into the last question.
Lewis has not got this.
Of course was. Yes. Which Italian team will Celtic and Rangers both face?
Roma. Why did I say Torino?
It's Roma, and Lewis got it. Yes, Lewis.
Lucky he wasn't playing me.
Now the big question, mate. Lewis, is it the sign ball or the new collector's item, beat the pundit coin?
Can you sign the coin?
Yes.
You can yes, sign the coin.
Well, I don't know. We'll put something. Put a wee something in it. A wee stick.
I know what I'm going to put in it.
You're taking the coin, Lewis.
Aye, I'll take
good
the coin.
Good man.
Coins are yeah, nicest, Lewis.
Yeah. Good taste, Lewis. Who's your team, Lewis?
Rangers.
What are you thinking then, heading out of the international break? Was it a welcome break after the start to the season or what?
I'm actually delighted for the game Saturday.
What excites you?
The strikers. Miosky really, 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 really excites me.
Do you think the break might have done Rangers a bit good then? Maybe a bit of time for these guys to bed in, a bit of time for... tell you what, Russell Martin better hope that's the case.
Yeah, because he needs a result.
If that's the case, he needs to get the camp settled.
Yeah, because there's a thing in Glasgow where there's only like room for one set of noise at any one time, and the break's all been about Celtic because the deadline day was calamitous. The statements added fuel to the fire, but Rangers' picture hasn't improved any, Gordon. It's just that you've heard less about it, so. I mean, Lewis is right. This, he might be excited about the weekend, but it needs to go right, this one.
I think the next two games need to go right. He's got Hibs in the Cup right after it. Another difficult one at Ibrox. He's under a little bit of pressure. Lewis, do you think he's the right man?
I don't at this point in time, but I'm happy for him to change my mind.
Yeah, I think you're like most Rangers supporters as well there. But two big, big games coming up. He's went under the radar a little bit, the international break, and obviously Celtic statement comes out, Celtic fans up in arms, rightly so about that, but now it's down to nitty gritty. Two games at Ibrox against probably two decent sides, you would say, Hearts and Hibs.
What about the Rascal situation? Do you think he sorts it out?
It's the next month until the international break, he needs to win every game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Sorry, Marv.
Raskin, do you think he sorts that situation out? Think he'll be in the squad for the weekend?
Yeah, I think he's got to. I think it makes sense. You know, he's a Belgium international. So I think most Rangers fans would probably say he's the best midfield player in Ibrox just now in the building. I know that you can't have players dictating to you as a manager. You've got to show a bit of strength, but you've also got to show a bit of man management. If it can be resolved, then I think you've got to go down that road with asking.
Yeah, well, Lewis, thank you very much for your time. That was Lewis in Uddingston, and he's won, beat the pundit, he's won the coin, he's put Gordon Dale in his place. What a night for Lewis.
He's
5 out of 7.
Mate,
I don't know why he said Torino. I don't even know who plays for Torino.
Dennis Law. Shea Adams. Because that's the way Dennis Law used to say it when I met him, when I signed with Man City. I played with Torino.
You had a Hugh moment there, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I knew it was Roma.
That's what happens when the pressure's on. I'm so disappointed we didn't get to the next question.
What was it?
Spell Balaquisha.
Oh, pass.
B-A-L. Q.
No.
Right, hold on a minute.
I've got no idea, but not a Q.
It's not a spelling test. I just thought I would quickly throw that out there to see how it see how it went. Anyway, sorry, enough hilarity for one night. Pat is on the line. How are you, Pat?
Not too bad. Old boy's house. Hope he's having
good,
a good night.
Good, Pat. What are you thinking?
I just think that I was disappointed with Celtic's movement in the transfer window during the summer. And the statement didn't help there Saturday, but it's done now, it's gone by. So now it's just a thing of time, just like, all right, they've not got the players they wanted, we all wanted, and we're all got sucking in the dummy. But it's just time to dry your eyes now and get on with it. And with this sort of thing between the board and the fans, is it going to help anyone? So I just think it's time to just get them heads knuckled down now, get on with it. And the players that we've brought in, you know, we might have won a watch with some of the guys we've got in, so... Everything's no negative. We're still top of the league. We've no lost a game yet. We've no lost a goal. So this will be just too despondent, you know what I mean?
Do you think, with all due respect to you, Pat, there's any chance of you getting your wish?
What's that?
That everybody now forgets about it and moves on?
No, absolutely not. Because I've talked to my brother the other couple of days and he's going to have his nut. But I've tried to tell him, just like, calm it down. We've been here before. The most Celtic board, they try to get money for value for money. It's never been a surprise, and that's why the club's run so well, and that's why we're streaks ahead of Rangers. So, I mean, I just think, like, I know it's been hard, I agree with them. I'm not been too happy even myself, but I just think, let it go now, it's gone. We've got January to look forward to, just get on a run now, and do our usual.
I'm interested to hear what other Celtic fans think. Can you let it go? Is it gone? Let us know. It feels, Gordon, the reason I asked Pat about the likelihood of that happening is I don't think this is going anywhere. I think that's the impression you get. Celtic fans want something done about it. Now, I don't necessarily know what that means, and I don't know how it plays out, but they want something done. They don't want to forget about it. Certainly the ones you read online, a lot of the ones who phone in here, apart from Pat, they've not even had the chance to voice their frustration in a stadium yet. So they'll go to Kilmarnock at the weekend. It's an absolute guarantee the away fans will say or hold or display something. Event, forgive me, I can't even nick Celtic home games a bit away. Again, guaranteed to be voiced then. And that's before you even get to, I don't know if you've seen this stuff because your kind of internet presence is probably different from mine, but the you know, there's like petitions, there's all the fans groups are getting together, taking various signatures for, you know, votes of no confidence in the board. So I get where Pat's coming from. I don't think there's any chance this goes anywhere anytime soon though.
No, I hear Pat, but I don't think a lot of the Celtic fans, your fellow Celtic fans, hear him and agree with him. It's nice for him to come on and say, look, it doesn't get the club anywhere, that the board and the supporters and the team have all got to go together. That's why Celtic, and he's right about the stats so far. They've got off to a good start in the league. They've not conceded a goal, not lost a game. What was sad about it, Gordon, was I think most supporters, whether you support Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, whatever, if there's something going wrong with your club, you want somebody to put their head up and say, right, okay, come out with a statement. We're going to make a statement. We're going to make sure the fans know exactly what's happening inside their football club. We want to keep in touch with them. We want to make sure they know. But it was an absolute disaster of a statement, you've got to say. And it riled the Celtic fans more than it was put out there to probably calm them down. And this is where the problem, and I don't think the Celtic fans have got to let this go for a long time. So I'll be interested in the next few games to see what does happen. You've already heard people coming on this programme talking about, you know, they won't be buying merchandise, they won't be paying any more money into whatever the funds or the pools or whatever the Celtic go about their business, raising more money off the fans. So there's a lot of angry fans out there. I know what Pat's saying. I don't think it's got to wash with them. I think Celtic fans have had enough. They feel shortchanged with the amount of money and everything that they put into the club, and I certainly don't think the statement helped anyone, and it probably didn't help the Celtic manager either, because we're now having debates, will Brendan Rodgers still be the Celtic manager by the end of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, Brendan will be very, very frustrated with what's going on, as Pat and the rest of the fans are. And listen, like you said, an ideal world, Pat, everyone would move on and it'd be forgotten. But there's no doubt that, you know, that away game against Kilmarnock, the fans will let their voices be heard. However they go about doing that, they're obviously disappointed in the lack of spending, which also resulted in you guys not making the Champions League. One thing they will still do is obviously support the players. So that nothing in terms of that will change. But yeah, the relationship between the fans and the board at this moment in time, it is at breaking point. It really, really is, for various different reasons. And I agree with Gordon. You know, the statement that came out only made things worse. It almost added fuel to the fire. I haven't seen any, you know, Celtic fans come out and say, you know, that was actually a really good statement, and I'm more understanding of the situation now. You know, I think if the board could have their time again, they would either not put one out, or they'd have put, you know, more into it and explained a little bit more. So yeah, the Celtic fans aren't happy, but listen, like you said, Pat, life does go on. You're still top of the league. You're still doing well domestically, but there's no doubt about it. As I said it on the show before, you know, Celtic's transfer window was a bad one, a really, really bad one.
Pat, I don't know if you'll get your wish, but I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. That was Pat on the line. And if you want to join in, now's the perfect time to do so.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are in the building, ready for you to get in touch, so please do. 0141 951 1025. The Sensible Donkey has sent you a full time teaser in, and he says, Gordon DL says, what do you say on the teaser?
There's always a goalie.
There's always a goalie. So can you name the nine Scottish goalkeepers since 2016-17 who've kept 10 clean sheets or more in a Premiership season?
Craig Gordon.
Good question. Let me read it again. Can you name the nine Scottish goalkeepers since 2016-17 who've kept 10 clean sheets or more in a Scottish Premiership season?
Craig Gordon.
He's done it with Hearts and Celtic.
Well, what about Liam Kelly at Motherwell?
Yes, Livy and Motherwell. Marvin, do you want to contribute in any meaningful way?
Still writing the question down. Since when?
2016-17.
Oh, for goodness sake. Was Alan McGregor still playing at that time?
He was. Well done. Okay, leave it there because you've got three and there's only six more to get, so don't give me any more just now. A quick reminder though, we thank the Sensible Donkey for the question, but if you want involved, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Peter is on. How are you, Peter?
Gordon, obviously it's still, because at the end of the day, there it is. You know, like Celtic, right, they put it out there that time they did on Saturday night. I'm with one of your previous callers, Pat. See, all the chanting, sack the board and all that, they affect people, and that's the players on the park. And dealt the home have been dealt with. The players, boycott, get, no boycott, but see if you like to get to the board. People say, oh, I'm not doing that because this.
Peter's line keeps kind of just breaking up and then coming back, so it feels like we're missing words out, but I can just about piece it together. He said, if you want to hurt the board, don't buy merchandise. Chanting sack the board only impacts the players. Difficult, Gordon, because look, there's a balance to be found. Players want probably to play in an environment where everybody's rosy and everything's pulling in the same direction. But if it's not, and the fans feel that they want to express that, then, you know, again, they're entitled to do so as long as it doesn't.
I think the fans are very angry, Gordon. That's an understatement. And I think they will show their anger, but hopefully it'll be done in the right way. If there's protests, you know, maybe before the game or whatever, then fine. But the most important thing for any supporter going along is, first and foremost, you've got to support your team on the pitch, you've got to support your manager, and then you take up whatever happens with the board after that. Obviously, there's a massive divide now between the board and, I think, Brendan Rodgers, recruitment, and obviously Celtic fans.
Well, I mean, last time he spoke, he said everyone was pulling in the same direction.
Look, you can't be pulling in the same direction if you're coming out and you're saying one thing and the next minute, you know, the Adam Eder situation, nobody's leaving until I get somebody in. We're short in bodies. Adam Eder was out the building Monday. Celtic were still scrambling about trying to get players in. Now, the argument against that, you can maybe hear some of the Celtic fans saying, oh, they already had that all fixed. I don't believe that. I think they were scrambling about. So
that's speculation, as one guy said last week.
Right. But I just think that there's such a divide now. Look, I've sat here many a time and defended the board about the way they go about their business. I do think they had a terrible transfer window, but they're new players in. We've got to give them time to see what they're going to bring to the team, first and foremost. But I just think with the statement, as Marv said, it wasn't one of these statements that the Celtic fans went, right, okay, we can sit back, we can understand where the board's coming from. I think it fueled the fire, and that's the problem.
I think what's interesting about this, Marvin, is quite often in football, we are all fickle, we just are, and generally winning some football matches makes everything feel okay. But where this one might be different is this isn't a response to not winning football matches. Because one of the callers said earlier, the league campaign's been absolutely fine so far, top of the league, not conceded a goal. Yes, the Champions League has maybe poured a bit of fuel on this, granted. But yeah, this is about more than just results. So I don't know. I don't know how many results would fix this, or is it more than that?
No, it's definitely more than that now. I think, you know, Celtic getting knocked out of the Champions League in the manner that they did has really frustrated the supporters, and that's not something that can be changed this season. There's no doubt about it. Domestically, they'll still be a force. They're still top of the league. You know, they haven't conceded a goal. So they've been really, really good domestically, and you know, long may that continue for them. But in terms of the relationship between the board and the supporters, you know, that's going to take a lot of fixing. They're not happy with the transfer window, and rightfully so, because I'm the same as Gordon. You know, I was protecting the board all the way along the transfer window, and a lot of Celtic fans are calling in and saying, no, you know, we leave it to the last minute all the time, and one day it's going to go wrong. For me, this is the one day it has gone, or the one time it has gone wrong for them. Adam Eder, as Gordon used an example, there's a massive one for me. It's not about the new players coming in and us not understanding what they can do. They could both be fantastic wingers, but they needed a number nine, and they didn't not only not get a number nine in, you know, they lost a number nine. So yeah, listen, there's a lot to be repaired.
Is there always a football solution, though? Maybe not completely fix it, but let's just say Kelechi Iheanacho scores a hat-trick at the weekend or shows signs of promise, adds a couple of goals next week. Would it calm things a bit? And I know people might be shouting and saying, no, because, you know, we are determined here and it's bigger than that. But football does have a funny way of doing that. As an example, when the last time Celtic fans felt like this was probably when 10 in a row went wrong, COVID, etc. But all of a sudden, Ange Postecoglou came in, and I'm not saying it was all forgotten, but it certainly changed.
It can help slightly, of course it can. If the players keep winning, new players hit the ground running, the Celtic fans are seeing, you know, an improvement on recent performances. You look at the disappointment in the Champions League over the two games. You look at probably, I think both sides have to take a bit of responsibility. The game at Ibrox was dreadful for me. I think it slightly can help Gordon, but I think this is a long burner for me. I don't think this has just got to be resolved overnight. I think it's went too far for Matt. Too many angry Celtic fans, too many fans out there disappointed with the way they've been treated with the club. I'm with Marv. I've always said it's a well-run club. It's everything finances, the way they do their business going out the way is brilliant. They get top dollar for their players, let's be honest about that. Great business. Yes, they've left it a bit late. The managers even come out and said, look, the problem's not the money, the problem's the timing. And I think there's a divide in the club that I don't know how they resolve it.
What else are you thinking, Peter? What else is doing the rounds in the minds of the Celtic fans at the moment?
Just obviously about the situation, Gordon, right? But I want to ask you a question, because obviously you're in the media circle, working with Sky and things like that, right? Truth to this stuff that's going about today, Sean Maloney and Jim Goodwin taking over, and Brendan's getting a package, because, like you are saying, that's got nothing against Sean Maloney and Jim Goodwin. That's going to be a downgrade, and I don't think that would sit well with the fans either.
If you're asking me if I know if that's true, the honest answer is absolutely not a chance.
Nod your head now, see.
No, what I mean is absolutely not. Is it something I've got any knowledge of? If you want just my opinion on the likelihood of it, it feels not very likely, but...
Look, let's not be disrespectful to Jim Goodwin, who's done a brilliant job at Dundee United, and Sean Maloney. I totally agree with Peter. If that happened, I think that would be worse than the statement.
I think anything can become rumour now, though, when Peter says, no, there's a rumour. I don't really know how, you know, what that means. Is it somebody on WhatsApp, somebody on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see that happening at all. You know, Brendan's already said on numerous occasions that he'll see out his contract unless told otherwise. You know, I know there's a disconnect between the board and the fans at this moment in time, and maybe a little bit between the board and the manager, but, you know, I can't see them, you know, getting rid of him. At the end of the day, he's still the best man for the job. You know, and I just think European football's going to be massive for them, Gordon. You spoke about Iheanacho, if he can come in and score goals domestically. I just think the European campaign now for Celtic's going to be absolutely massive, and that's what the fans are going to now judge them on. So it's important they get that going and get it going as quickly as possible.
Gordon, do you think any of the last week or 10 days or whatever has changed anything? Brendan Rodgers has gone on record multiple times saying he'll see out his contract at a minimum. The deadline, what we haven't done though, speak to him since deadline day, then the story in the newspaper in the Scottish Sun at the weekend suggesting that he's trying to engineer his exit, a story that a lot of Celtic fans believe is obviously sort of, you know, put out there for whatever reason. And then the statement, do you think any of that changes Brendan Rodgers' thoughts?
Honestly, I can sit here and say I really don't know. At the beginning of the season, Brendan Rodgers did come out many times and say, look, I'm here for the next season, doesn't matter what happens. I just think this divide went so much that Brendan Rodgers will look at this situation, and obviously you hear the story, the rumour come out in the Sun. Brendan Rodgers can't be a happy manager, but let's not be kidded here. Brendan Rodgers has got to take a slight bit of the blame. As much as he can come out and complain about not having the players that he wanted in the building at the right time, he still had a lot of terrific players at his disposal. And for me, good enough to get through two games.
Yeah, but has this not all moved on from that? And that's why, in the eyes of a lot of the fans, not them all, I can't speak on behalf of them, Brendan Rodgers is now not as much of a guilty party, because we're not arguing about not going through against Kyrat Almaty anymore. This is much bigger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Celtic fans that we have had on in the last 10 days are now saying, I'd forgive him if he walked away here.
Yeah, I think a big percentage of them are now saying that. And I wouldn't be surprised if over the coming weeks or months, if this doesn't get resolved, that he would do that. If a job come up the now, listen, I think a lot of Celtic fans must have been looking at this Nottingham Forest situation and thinking, oh, I wonder if Brendan Rodgers has got an eye down there. So,
you think he would go? You think he would walk? I honestly can't see it.
He said he wouldn't.
Yeah, no, and I think he'll be true to his word. I just think, listen, he'll be frustrated and all these things that are going on. I think he'll be in a situation now where he's saying, I'm just going to get on with it. You know, yes, I told him what we needed. We didn't get it in. We actually lost players that we shouldn't have lost. Like, the numbers aren't adding up at this moment in time, but I'm just going to get on it, because ultimately his promise was to the supporters.
Thank you very much to Peter. Let's squeeze in Michael as well before we move on. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, lads? How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
What it is, but I'm thinking, I'm just listening to the show at the moment. I was sort of, I'm agreeing with your call, the last previous call there. It's not just Rodgers to blame. I've been on the show a few times. It's a certain Mr. Peter Lawwell's to blame. He's been in since this is, I've been on before, as we mentioned, that's the guy's name. I want him out of my club as soon as possible, because we're going backwards. Kyrat Almaty beat us, who are a farmer's team, or a farmer's league. I've never heard of them in my life whatsoever.
There is an ongoing theme though right now, and I can't escape the cycle, where a Celtic fan calls in and says, this is Peter Lawwell's fault, and I say, because I like a level of accuracy or clarity, that Peter Lawwell is the chairman of the board. He does not run Celtic's day-to-day football operations. He is not responsible for transfer negotiations. And then I get people on Twitter going, how naive are you that you'd think Peter Lawwell's got nothing to do with this? So let's rinse and repeat that same cycle again, because I still think it's worth mentioning.
I don't think this is just down to one person, Gordon. You can't just throw everything at Peter Lawwell's door here. Now, you look at Peter Lawwell's been a massive part of Celtic when they were winning trophy after trophy after trophy. Peter Lawwell's been a part of the Celtic board when they're selling players for a massive amount of money, and everybody's saying that Celtic are a well-run club the way they do their business. They've had a terrible summer, right? They've had a terrible summer. We've not privileged to what happens in Celtic football ground, obviously with the board situation. But I think it's very unfair just to throw everything at one certain person. I don't think that's fair in Peter Lawwell.
Michael?
Not just Peter Lawwell, isn't it? Just maybe him. There's a few of them in the board that are not doing their job. Michael Nicholson, Dermot Desmond, I don't know where he is. I don't know what Dermot Desmond is. And when the transfers get made, and as you said in the previous call, that if Brendan Rodgers walks away from the club, I would not blame Brendan Rodgers whatsoever, because he's done these 3 years and he said to the fans he's done it. He's going to do 3 years.
And he hasn't yet, though. That'll be the end of this season.
Aye, but obviously, if he walks away at the end of this season, I've said for day one, if he walks, and people are going to the football, we said the same thing. Like, if he walks away, we'll let him go. Because the first time he done, he went to Leicester. A lot of fans were not happy. Yourselves obviously knew about that. So, if he went, and as you pointed out there, Gordon, they're not in the Forest job. I looked at it today and I'm going, oh no. As soon as I seen it, the manager was sacked, I'm going, Brendan will look at that job and think, he said, well, there's an English Premier League team. I can get it down with English clubs and pack my lads. I'll only slot your whatever else manager.
And then Celtic would have just wanted to take it Ange back.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah, it was all happening.
There's not enough hours in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard day for that. Thank you very much to Michael on the line. The Sensible Donkey asked you for the 9 Scottish keepers since 2016-17 with 10 or more clean sheets in a Premiership season. You've got Liam Kelly, Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor,
David Marshall.
Yep, Hibbs. You got 11 in the 22-23. Yep, you got 15 for Celtic.
Did Xander Clark do it with St Johnson?
And Hearts, well done. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return. But before we go any further, let me just run something else by you. Because if you want to listen to the show without adverts, you can now sign up to Rayo Premium. So it means you can enjoy Super Scoreboard without the interruptions. except the times when Gordon Dale interrupts me, they'll still be in there. So start your free trial now at Clyde1.com using code Clyde1. The subscription automatically renews, $3.99 a month at the end of the trial period, but you can cancel any time. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale says the show's gone fast tonight, so if we can manage to keep his attention locked in, then you must be doing something right. We're nearly out of time, but still an opportunity for you to get your thoughts in, whether it is the earliest nod to domestic football returning, or it's the international break, or something else. Someone actually said to me today, they said, is it a bit early for you guys tonight to talk about domestic football? And I said, it's never too early. Never. Not in the eyes of many of our listeners. So give us a call if you so wish. It's a good teaser tonight, sent in on the usual email address, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where you send the teaser, and then the pundits inevitably struggle to answer your question on the show. So tonight, can you name 9 Scottish goalkeepers since 16-17 who've kept 10 clean sheets or more in a single Premiership season? Xander Clark, Liam Kelly, David Marshall, Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor, Scott Bain. 3 to get.
I might be going too far, but Neil Alexander?
He is not on the list.
Is Robbie McCrory?
He is not on the list.
Flying.
I
only got one.
The Rangers goalkeeper, McLaughlin?
John McLaughlin?
Yeah.
Yes. Did it for Hearts in the 17-18 season. Okay, you've got 2 to get. We will leave it there and see how you fare before the end. Peter's on the line next up. Peter, how are you?
Hi, guys. You okay? Gordon, Marvin.
We're all right,
Peter.
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, Celtic fan. Obviously, I listen to all the phone-in tonight, as I do every night. My main point is that this cannot drag on. The Celtic situation can't turn it into a soap opera. So the four options that I've got here in front of me are either Brendan Rodgers stays and it is turned into a soap opera, and come January, no one wants to sign for us because we are a soap opera. Option 2 is that the board look at the statement that they made at the weekend and realise how absurd it was. They back down and they back Brendan and we get on with the rest of the season. Option 3 is that Brendan goes and we appoint a puppet who's going to do anything that the board says. And I don't know if there is an option 4. I think option 4 is they just sack Brendan Rodgers and see what happens. But my main point is, if this situation remains unsolved, then we are going to be in a situation where nobody wants to play for us in January because Brendan will still be there and they know that the manager won't be there come May or June. This cannot continue.
What would be the start of that then? So you think it feels like a long way off to have this discussion, but do you think Brendan Rodgers' contractual situation needs sorted?
No, I think the impasse between the supporters and the board needs sorted.
Sure, but what I meant is that wouldn't necessarily change what you said you thought was an issue about players signing in January for a manager that's not going to be there.
Well, no, the bigger issue is that, in a brilliant world, yeah, obviously, if the board and Brendan can sort things out and give, and you know, no, it's not necessarily about Rodgers not beat, because there's lots of teams in that situation. I'm talking more about the environment around us.
Just like the atmosphere.
There's a cancerous atmosphere beginning to evolve, and we can't, it's not about contract, it's about if this cancerous atmosphere continues, nobody will want to sign for Celtic because they'll think, God, we're not going there.
Yeah.
You know, there's there's a cancer setting in. It's like a soap opera. It cannot continue, and something needs to happen very, very soon to sort this out.
You two know how players think. I, from the outside, I always think if a player is, there's an offer there of 20, 25 grand a week and the chance to win trophies, they take it anyway without really thinking too much about the atmosphere between board and fans. However, Maybe they don't all think that way. And Peter's right, something needs to give.
Yeah, but sometimes, sorry, Mar, sometimes you will come to a club for a manager. You know, and good players at Celtic are trying to shop in the same market, then they'll have other options, Gordon. But sometimes you look at the club, you look at the manager, you look at the coach, can he improve me? Is that what his track record is? I've played under him before, or I know him, or whatever it may be. And it'll be interesting come January that Brendan Rodgers sitting there when the transfer window opens again, what sort of players he's going to attract, because he's going to need players in to finish the season off. You wonder if it'll be the same scenario that we've just had, which would not be good. But I totally agree with Peter. I think that there's something got to be done. I'm looking forward to hearing Brendan Rodgers' press conference this weekend. It'll probably be, what, Friday, usually around about that. So
it'll be finished by Saturday morning.
Yeah, probably another statement will come out. But it'll be interesting to hear what the Celtic manager thinks of this full situation just now, and how he's going to, you know, address that. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult, awkward questions for him.
What's the most likely outcome for you, Peter? How do you see this playing out?
I think the situation's untenable at the moment. You've got two questions to ask: the relationship between the board and the fans, and the relationship between the board and the manager. If the board made a scapegoat out of the manager, then there's still a huge impasse between the board and the fans. I think if the board have got any sense at all, they'll try to backtrack from the statement that they made at the weekend, because if they don't and they stand their ground, then there's only going to be trouble ahead. They've got to do what's right for the club. My instinct is that the situation is now untenable. And I think, you know, when Brendan, a lot of people criticised Brendan when he walked a few years ago. I personally was not one of those people who criticised him, because I believe there was other things going on between behind the scenes then which made him walk, so I didn't blame him then. And I certainly wouldn't blame him now. And I think that 99% of the people, the fans, would not blame him now if he walked. And the board really need to understand that. The board really need to understand the mood within the camp.
Can you see a climb down on the statement that Peter mentions? Just a personal thing. I can't really, because transfer window was Monday night, statement was Saturday night, that there was time. It wasn't rushed. They had ample opportunity to take the temperature of the Celtic fans. They presumably are aware of all the stuff that's been said, hence why they put the statement out. But given the time that passed, I think they believe in it. I think it would be quite a surprise to hear them climb down on it.
They won't be backtracking on that at all. I know what Peter's saying, but the board won't be doing it. Like you said there, Gordon, it wasn't a flippant thing. It wasn't something that, you know, the window closed on the Monday and then Tuesday morning that was out. You know, they had more than enough time to think about it, to put their points across, and they've done that. You know, whether the fans agree with it or not, that's how the board view it. So, yeah, I can't see them going back on it. I do think, you know, Brendan Rodgers will stay put to the end of the season. I just think, you know, it's one of those things when you've got the board, and Gordon will tell you he's managed as well, that if he's not in contact with the board, he doesn't see him on a daily basis. So you can just go on about your job in exactly the same way. Come January, it'll be slightly different. We're bringing players in, but until then, they'll be absolutely fine.
Thank you, Peter. We will see. We'll stay in touch and have a look at how this plays out in the coming weeks and months. For now, you two need to give me a couple more goalies. 9 Scottish goalkeepers since 16-17 who've kept 10 clean sheets or more in a Premiership season. Sander Clark, Liam Kelly, David Marshall, Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor, Scott Bain, John McLaughlin. Quite easy that, because that's all the ones that have been capped by Scotland. But what about the remaining two?
Cammy Bell?
Nah.
We shall laugh at that.
That's rude. Very rude to one of your colleagues.
He has been capped.
I know, but he's not on the list.
He's not on the list.
Right, okay. What have you got?
I've got nothing. Who do they play for?
Killy and Hearts at the time, but they've both sort of moved around and played for quite a few.
You know the Killy one?
No.
Yep, played for Dougie at Morton. Oh, he was for Morton.
He was also at Hearts previously, and he's Falkirk.
He's got like a Lombardo, like the his hair.
Bit in the middle of your misery.
What's his name? No, wait.
Hurry up.
He's an issue.
No, I know his name.
Quickly.
What the hell is his name?
Yes.
McDonald. McDonald. Yeah, what's his first name?
Jamie McDonald.
Jamie McDonald.
Give it that now.
Yes. You possibly had that. I try to think if he was at Livy with you, this last guy.
Livy?
Yep. Jack Hamilton.
Oh, no. Do you know Jack?
He got 10. He's there now.
I guess so, yes. Anyway, we're back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
He got 10 clean sheets.